J1.
Number 10B.
Now, this is often earth-shattering to people to feel that the substance we see is idea and not matter, and all of a sudden it goes into the realm of mysticism, and it goes into the realm of abstract glory and not concrete reality, because it's hard for somebody to really believe that the idea is substance when we've been so believed that, you know, it's got to be something besides, you know, this can't be idea, you know. Is this idea when one looks at one's body or at the image to feel that that substance is idea and not matter? I think that we can begin to get into the rhythm of the fact that idea is the real substance. This is a very basic teaching of Christian Science. And we can get into the feeling that idea is the real substance by finding out where this matter belief comes from, where the matter belief came from, instead of the idea belief that idea is substance. Now, we know that there are various degrees of awareness we've seen over and over again, and that man views the particular image, that perfect image, in different ways. Now, from that first degree of mortal mind, physical belief, man views the image that he sees as being separate from his mind. Now, this is the very first degree of viewing reality. As we sit here in our seats, the very primitive physical way of viewing the image we see is to say, now, aha, that image that we see is separate from ourselves. That image we see exists separate from our mind. In other words, we feel that that image we see is matter. It exists out there separate. It's matter, and is the substance of that image, and that matter or the substance of that image is solid stuff. That what we see out there is matter, and that is solid stuff, and it's tangible, it has weight, and it occupies space. You see, a first-degree belief looks out at the image and says, aha, that's matter, that's a solid stuff substance. It exists per se. It exists independent of our consciousness. Now, that is a very primitive way of looking at the image. That's a very, very first degree physical way of looking at the image, that is matter, and that is a physical solid stuff universe independent of our consciousness. It's very primitive. Today the physicists have gone beyond this belief. It is no longer considered a fact in reality. Today the physicists are dematerializing the image, so to speak, that we see. In other words, the image in physics is becoming less and less material. Today, the physicists are viewing the image which we see from an entirely different angle. Now, what has done this is, in the early 1900s, when Einstein brought forth his equation E equals mc squared, this equation began to dematerialize the image to a great degree, because it started taking away the false belief that that image is a solid stuff matter which exists per se independent of consciousness. Now, slowly we get into this. Einstein's equation then of E equals mc squared explains matter to be energy. It explains that the substance of the phenomena that we see is energy. So what we see, if it appears to be in solid form, that is just energy in a concentrated form. It's energy in a concentrated form that appears as a solid substance. But it's just energy, and it's in a concentrated form. Now, physics teach what appears to be light is also energy, but it's in a free-flowing form. So modern physics is always explaining the image that we see in terms of energy, whether that image appears as solid stuff. Modern physics says it's concentrated energy, or if that image appears in light, then modern physics says this is free-flowing energy. Now, modern physics and physicists do not stop here. Many physicists today boldly go on.
And the physicists today begin to explain the image even from a higher standpoint. They begin to explain the image that we see just exists as a construction of consciousness. Therefore, the image that we see, whether we see it as concentrated energy or whether we see it as free-flowing energy, does not exist per se. That means that this energy is not self-existent. It means that this energy is a product of the mind. Now, this is what the physicists are seeing, that the energy, either in its concentrated form or in its free-flowing form, is a product of the mind. And I'd like to quote some examples from various thinkers and physicists. One I'd like to quote from is from Sir James Jean in his book Physics and Philosophy. He writes, "Objective and material universe is proved to consist of little more than constructs of our own mind." Do you see? He's saying that the material universe exists as constructs of our own mind. And the Lincoln Barnett, who is often quoted from his book in Dr. Einstein, states that the whole objective universe of matter and energy, atoms and the stars, does not exist except as a construction of consciousness. Lincoln Barnett is saying that matter and energy is a construction of consciousness. And recently, in the Scientific American magazine entitled Energy and Power, which came out in September 1971, this quote, this particular statement appeared in this magazine. "It would not be surprising if it should turn out that the origin and destiny of the energy in the universe cannot be completely understood in isolation from the phenomena of life and consciousness." In the Scientific American, as recently as 1971, it's stating that energy can only be understood in relation to life and consciousness. This is what the advanced physicists are beginning to see today. This is really quite exciting, actually. So, the physicists are saying that the image we see is energy, but that energy is a product of the mind. And this is what Christian Science is teaching. It is teaching that in reality, the image which we see is the product of the divine mind. Therefore, because of all these various physical beliefs, that image is distorted, and we take on all sorts of distorted beliefs about that image. But the physicists are breaking out, and they're seeing that that image is a product of the mind. And as we know, that image then is a product of the divine mind, and the real substance of that image is idea. Once we see this overcomes our whole, as I mentioned in the first talks when we were together, that this overcomes our whole life-death burden. Because if we can see that the whole image exists as an idea in mind, ideas are timeless and spaceless, and they're eternal. Now, let's go on. We have other ideas which characterize spirit, or ideas which characterize reality. And those are the ideas of reality, nature, supply, supremacy, and the only. And let's go through these quickly. Now, looking at the idea, therefore, of reality as a fact in being. Real means in the dictionary to have actuality, or it means actually existing. And real also means, from another dictionary, actually being or existing, not fictitious or imaginary, genuine. Therefore, something that is real is actual and not fictitious. So we say, what is real? And we answer, what is real is the divine mind and its idea universe. That is reality. Now we come to this idea of nature as a fact in being. And nature means, from the dictionary, the inherent qualities of anything, the essential qualities which constitute it. Now, what then are the real inherent qualities of reality? And as we just have seen, that the divine mind and its idea universe is reality. Therefore, we can see that the idea universe constitutes the divine nature of reality. It is the real nature, the real substance of that reality. Then we come to this idea of supply, and we say, now, supply. We're all very much interested in having lots of supply. So we say, what is real supply? Is money real supply? And what we see then is that it's actually, and it's a fact, that our wealth is in ideas. And ideas are our source of supply. Now, in Science and Health, we read, God gives you his spiritual ideas, and in turn, they give you daily supply. And this is very natural. I mean, it's always been the idea of the scientist that has brought him finally his monetary benefits, so to speak, but it was always the ideas first. You see, it's the ideas which are then compensated or with money. Money is just something which is given in exchange for ideas. But what is important, what is the real source of supply, isn't money. In order, if one is interested in making money, one had better jolly well get to seeing what ideas are and have creative ideas, because those ideas are the source of supply, not the money. And this is why Buckminster Fuller, who is an architect and goes around and speaks to the universities and to young people, saying, do not work for money. Do not spend your whole life in search of money only. Do not spend your life in a job that is tedious and you're working just for money. He will tell the young people, seek creative ideas. And he'll say, at first, you know, things may look a little bleak. But he'll say, slowly but surely, because of your creative ideas, people will say, will you come give a lecture? We'll give you $500 for a lecture if you talk about your ideas. Or somebody will say, you know, that's a beautiful painting. I'll give you, you know, $100 for it. It's the ideas that are the source of supply. So if one cultivates a creative life, which is based on ideas, and we center our life always on ideas, those ideas will, I hate to say this word, bear fruit, but those ideas will come forth, they will be fulfilled. That if ideas, therefore, we must center on ideas as our source of supply. It's just so important, then we will be rewarded by perhaps in the means of money as it is the means of exchange today. Now we go on with supremacy. And we see that spirit as a symbol is teaching that the divine mind and its idea universe is the only reality. Therefore, the divine mind and its idea universe is supreme. Or we go on to the idea of the only, and we know that only means singly or as the only one. So we see, therefore, that because the divine mind and its idea universe is reality, is supreme, therefore the divine mind and its idea universe is the only one reality. The divine mind and its idea is the only. It's the only one reality. There are no opposites to it. It is the only. And as we have seen, it's just false beliefs that would make us feel like that universe is not the only, that there's a universe, a material universe. But that is just false reasoning. The divine mind in its universe is the only reality. Now, this brings us to our illustrative material, which is entitled Spirit. and counterfeits. And it also brings us to the compendium, number 5, to page 149, and to that section entitled Negative. Now, as we have seen, counterfeits are not counterfacts. False beliefs are counterfeits, and they arise only because there is a misunderstanding of the true facts. So we have false beliefs, which arise only because there is a misunderstanding of the true facts. Now, very briefly, we see that matter arises only because there is a misunderstanding of the true idea, universe. Matter beliefs arise because there is a misunderstanding that idea is substance or flesh. We can see that the belief in flesh arises from the false misunderstanding that idea is the true substance, and flesh arises from the misunderstanding that ideas never mingle with false beliefs. And fleshly, earthly beliefs are just those which believes that ideas mingle with false beliefs. Therefore, we have all the fleshly desires of adultery and evil and whatever goes on in the false fleshly world. It always comes because one believes that ideas can mingle with false beliefs. Flesh is just a misunderstanding of the true idea universe. And this is also true of spiritualism. Now, spiritualism, very briefly, is a belief that there are many spirits, and that spirits are corporeal beings, and that spirits control man, and therefore that there are spirits in a spirit world, and then there are man here in the material world, and that the dead spirits can communicate with the living here on earth, and that they can communicate through a medium. Now, this is just a false understanding of the true idea universe of mind. In reality, mind forms its own image, it has its own idea universe, and all this idea of spirits and communication with spirits is just a phenomenon of mortal mind. It doesn't go on in reality, and one knows how really one can go off on very good illusionistic trips, how one can imagine things greatly. This is a phenomena of mortal mind, this whole spirit world and matter world and the communication. It does not exist in reality at all. It's just a misunderstanding of the true idea universe. And one could go on and see what Christian Science teaches about spiritualism in a bigger way by reading Mrs. Eddy's chapter in Science and Health on spiritualism. Now, these are just a few ideas which counterfeit the idea of spirit, just matter, flesh, and spiritualism. These are the three ideas which appeared in the compendium. But we also can see that there are other false beliefs which arise in relationship to the ideas which characterize spirit. We can see that chaos exists only because there is a misunderstanding of divine order. Or we can see that duality or dualistic reasoning exists because there's a misunderstanding of the only, of oneness. Or we can see that impurity exists because there's a misunderstanding of purity. Or we can see that this whole belief of entropy in the world and relapse and retrogression and backward development is just a misunderstanding of the fact and the spiritual fact of order, development, unfoldment, and spiritual evolution. And this whole question of the second law of thermodynamics and entropy, Buckminster Fuller brings up, and he calls it that entropy is not the basic law in being that he would say it's syntropy, but it's the fact that energy redistributes itself. Energy is constantly in an evolutionary developing process, and for it's just a false belief to believe that the whole world is based on the laws of relapse and backward development. The laws of reality are based on development, unfoldment, and evolution. Life will always go forward and evolve as a fact in being. Now, that is what we have as far as spirit and the ideas which characterize spirit and spirit's counterfeit.